Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there is enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so honored today because I have Olivia with me. And if you like to play with your money and dancing your way into abundance, Olivia is your person. Olivia is a retired trapeze artist who has been a financial coach for over 3 years now. She really embodies practices with systems designed for each client to break through limiting habits and behaviors to create a creative life that matches each individual's deepest values. Thank you so much for being here today, Olivia.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I love your channel. I love what you're doing, what you're putting out in the world, how you're showing up in the world. So I am honored. Thank you.
Oh, well, we're so excited to have you and just your beautiful energy. And so everyone else can see that too. But with that being said, I would love to hear your journey in a nutshell. We'll dive deeper into it. But what was that experience like from where you were to where you are now starting your business?
Oh, do you mean partly because not very many trapeze artists become financial recovery counselors?
That little factor.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of actually places that it comes together that obviously I love people, I love expressing myself, and I really love different aspects of life. And so I get to see all different, I mean, to see that people with dealing with a $20,000 a year budget and dealing with a $2 million a year budget have a lot of the same struggles. So I love just seeing life, but how it happened really is I was an artist my whole life. I was doing one woman shows, just breaking even, like, oh, I made $200 profit, and then doing it over and over again. And I saw this woman speak. She's actually the daughter of one of the H&R Block founders. Mm. And she does money seminars. And I did this crazy thing and put on my credit card, which I could not afford, taking one of her long, like, away retreats at this beautiful on a hill mansion and everything. And I loved what she was talking about and the idea of linking up money with your values. And then I found out she had a money coach, and I was like, if she had a money coach. So I then went to train with her money coach at the Financial Recovery Institute. Mm. And that led to so many things, both directly and indirectly: getting married, moving closer to my family, buying a house, starting a different business. And so it really felt like, wait, if me, this ultra creative, literally climbing the walls person, can become financially happy and not just like financially successful, but financially secure and like I feel at peace, then this is something I want to share with the world. So, and then I just got on this path of becoming a coach myself, and it is the best ever. I love it so much.
I love it. And I love your story too, just like kind of doing a little background research and stuff, just of who you are as a person, but being able to take that creativity and morph it into being financially secure, but happy too. I love that you put in that word happy, because it looks different for everybody. But I would love for you to break down, what is a financial wellness counselor?
Well, it really is exactly, you just identified the linchpin of it, is that creativity. So financial wellness is a process of creating a life that works both for your wallet and your retirement, well, both, now I'm going to say more than two fingers, for your wallet and your retirement accounts and your heart and your love. And actually that woman that I first went on a retreat with, I was buying a property to be close to my stepchild, and it was not a smart business move. And she's the one who said, Olivia, sometimes we make money choices for love, and not everything has to be about creating a profit. But if you feel settled about making this choice, it's going to work in your life. So that's what money coaches do. We help really devise, craft very personalized what's going to work for your life. And if you're starting a business, how do you balance that business with your life so that your business is actually feeding you, not draining you, and that you're making money decisions that really nourish you. Did that answer the question at all?
Yes, it did. Spot on. And with that, I'm curious, what was that deciding factor, or maybe there was multiple deciding factors of learning all of this stuff, but then actually applying it and creating a business out of it?
Well, the learning, you are a therapist. I think you recognize the truth that people meet themselves where they're ready, regardless of what they think they're ready for, mm-hmm. you know, when you're really ready to change. And so I had made all the money mistakes. I did all those solo shows and credit cards. And then, okay, now I have to teach a lot and pay those off. Oh, I paid it off. Let me put another solo show and credit cards. So it was the pain of saying, I'm tired of this. Like, this is enough. I don't want to keep living this way. And also I don't want to do it alone. Clearly I'm pretty smart. And I even made a whole comedy character called Ms. Pretty Smart. And I actually love numbers. And yet I still was in this place of feeling at the mercy of money and feeling like life was happening to me and that I wasn't empowered to do something about it. So that was part of my journey of just being tired of it and saying there's got to be another way. And clearly I'm not able to do it on my own. Then as I became a coach, realizing that's a lie, that we should be able to do it on our own. I mean, as I started working with wealthier people, they're not doing it on their own. They have teams of people. And then that's just, it opens up this whole cultural myth of that we should be self-sustainable and be able to accomplish everything just by gritting our teeth. And I believe that we can do it having fun in connection with people and have it be pleasurable. So that was then the switch to having it be my job.
Oh, I love that switch of just being able to really understand where you're at. And even with coaching now too, just understanding where people are at and being ready for it to make that jump, because a lot of times it can be scary or not knowing the unknown, but being able to trust ourselves in that process.
Yes. Trust. I mean, and I think it is so much easier to trust ourselves when we have that other person there. We have someone trained holding that space for us, as opposed to running around in circles, knowing I should trust myself. And mm-hmm. it's just exponential, the speed difference that I always tell people, all right, even if you're not in a position to hire someone licensed mm-hmm. or certified, like, just commit to finding a friend that's willing to be honest and you can be honest with. And so just to have someone else holding that space where you know you can trust them, I think is what helps you start to trust yourself.
Oh, so spot on. And that's true. When you look at everybody individual wise, anybody who is successful, they haven't done it alone. And just even seeing all these wealthy individuals, they have teams, they have people that do help them, because you can't do it alone. This was my mistake in the beginning of my business.
Okay. Yeah. So you know, for speaking oh, yeah. from experience.
Oh yes. It's a constant uh-huh. learning thing, but, but with that being said, what has been maybe some of the roadblocks or lessons learned in over the 3 years that you have been coaching?
Well, I was carrying on other jobs. I started, mm-hmm. I don't even know where we are now. I made the decision just before COVID, and then COVID hit. And so I was getting different jobs just as I had started the business. And so I actually was working in person during COVID. I went into, I never would have guessed, but I went into the mental health industry mm-hmm. and was working live day in, day out. With masks still, they are at that facility. But mm-hmm. So one of the sort of axioms, I don't know if you've heard this or followed it, of, you know, don't quit your day job when you're building mm-hmm. a business. Wait until your business is at least matching your cash flow. And a roadblock for me was, so I got the business to a certain place, and then I felt like I couldn't grow it more while I was still mm-hmm. working these day jobs. Yeah. So I probably quit my day job, quote, too soon, according to those rules, but mm-hmm. it worked out because I did wait till I had a fair client base and my marketing mm-hmm. was in place so that I could reach people who wanted these services. But once I really dedicated full time to building the business, it was no longer a struggle so for business owners, you know, the phrase between working on your business and in your business. So I was meeting my clients, but when I had that other job, it was so hard to find time to schedule with clients. I work with clients in California and England. Yeah. And to say, well, I'm at this job for 9 hours, 4 days a week, like that limits my availability a lot. So once I really came away from those jobs, it was a total game changer. And within a month, I was making more than I had been at those day jobs, mm-hmm. more than what the health insurance was giving me, and just matching everything out. So that was an obstacle and a risk that paid off for me.
It definitely sounds like it. And mm-hmm. with that scheduling, because I'm curious, because there are a lot of people that are maybe still in their day job and building their business, what allowed you to keep growing it even before you hit that like plateau level? What was that?
The biggest thing was a mindset of mm-hmm. cutting myself some slack, yeah. of going, ooh, this great. Three people called me who want appointments this week and I'm too tired. And I recognize, yes, we want to stretch ourselves, but I really believe we can do it in healthy ways. And so for me, it was that mindset of saying, it's okay. If this person has to wait for 2 weeks to meet with me and they find another coach in that time, I want to create this foundation that I'm doing this business mm-hmm. in a way that works for me. So yeah. I'm a firm believer in really being clear about what you need and then asking for it. So I would offer mm-hmm. to clients, you know, I was also at this time still performing. So now I get to perform and do the business. And so I said, all right, I have a show. We usually get out at about 10:22 and then we don't know how long the curtain call is going to be. Could you meet at 11? And they're in California. Are you kidding? That would be great. So I never would have thought of that if it wasn't a need that really was set with my boundaries. And then mm-hmm. it ended up being this thing that helps them. They were able to put their toddler to bed beforehand and both meet, whereas they used to take turns as a couple. So mm-hmm. That's the advice I would give, is very clear on your needs. And then just giving yourself a break for saying, this is how much I can grow it now while I'm keeping my stability, because mm-hmm. that's what all of these decisions are about, is about balance mm-hmm. and understanding probably no matter how you do it, it's going to take longer than you want. So you might as well do it in a way that feels good, that takes a little longer than you want.
Yes, that is very much the truth of how long something takes. You think, oh, 6 months, it'll be big and great and everything will be flowing, and that does not happen. Maybe for some people, but I don't know too many.
There's definitely huge spurts, but I think even those often are backed up by different years of experience. I mean, even for flying trapeze, from mm-hmm. when I got my first professional contract was 8 years after I started trapeze, and I didn't start till I was 20. So I'm almost 30 of going, I guess I should quit this trapeze thing. I should give up on it. And then it wasn't until that year 8, I got that contract, and so fun. So yes, everything in every realm often takes longer than I want. Even baking lasagna last night. I was hungry.
I believe it. You know, sometimes life just throws us for a little loop. It makes life interesting.
Yes. And if we're smiling and laughing, or if we can get ourselves to that point of laughing, I believe that's what keeps us from cortisol levels shooting, skyrocketing, and it just keeps us healthy.
Yes, because it feels good to laugh, you know, it does. It's good for the soul. But with that being said, what has been maybe one or two success stories from clients? Because I know you've had your business for over 3 years now, so I'm sure you've had a lot of clients, but if you could pick maybe one or two that you could share with us today.
Well, I don't know if these would be the ones I would think of if I had thought about it longer, but I mean, one client who hadn't had savings in a long time and saved up and wanted, this client really loves Burning Man and hadn't been going because it was expensive, and was able to build up savings and had this whole plan to drive out there and join a team. And his truck broke down midway. And so because we had taken this time, he's one of our longer term clients, he had a plan. He didn't freak out. He knew, okay, I can adjust this. I know where these numbers are. I know what I can change because now I'm buying a plane ticket instead of gas and I'm losing this car. So just that happened in the last 2 weeks. So that's definitely top of mind in terms of that flexibility, because I think a lot of people assume, oh, a money coach, she's going to tell me what I can't do. And clients do come to me and they say, oh, you're going to be mad. I say, you cannot make me mad with any of your money decisions. Like, I am here to be honest about all of it. So, and then of course, as you could probably guess, it reflects feelings they have or self-judgments. But really the money coaching is about creating a holistic plan, as I was saying, crafting every part of your life so that you can move the pieces to serve you the way you want to. It's like opening a fridge and saying, what did life deal me today? It's a lot of leftovers. Let me, how can I craft this into a delicious meal? Another, what are some other, I mean, there was one woman, she was waiting for a lawsuit that had come in and she really wanted to prepare herself for when the money comes in. Of how she had this fear of, is she going to blow it all? And so she'd been thinking about different jobs, moving to other countries or grad school. And so we were able to lay out, all right, what would each of these cost you? What feels good for you? And as those came up, so many of the decisions that weren't about money got, so many of those voices got louder for her because the money part was quiet. And that's what I always want for people, that yes, we're using money to influence how you can tap into your wisdom of how to make these choices. But once you're not stressed about money, you're, those deeper voices and fears and insecurities, they can come up and you can actually listen to them and deal with them because you're not in this so common present stress level of my finances, I'm sure they're not good. So that's kind of actually a general theme, is that when people really start to trust again, but also have peace with their money, then they can actually be dealing with their real life and choosing how they want their life to go.
Yes. And that just, like, you're right. It reduces that stress because so many individuals, especially right now with inflation going like through the roof, how people are really worried about their finances. What are some things that you really tap into with your clients that you've seen theme-wise, minus what you just said, but like other themes that you see consistently across the board?
Yeah, self-trust is so huge. I don't know, a lot of people carry on sort of, I'm not saying this in a demeaning, belittling way at all, childhood practices of money, you know, of either saving it all in a jar and then blowing it all at the candy store or one big thing. And a lot of people have a lot of different accounts kind of to safeguard against themselves of, well, that's only going to be for when I buy a car. So I'm putting that there. And that one's only for if I ever get to go to Europe. So I'm slowly putting money in that account. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would imagine most of your audience are busy people. And so simplifying their lives is really one of the first common themes that touches almost everyone. Sometimes people come to me and they're like, yeah, I have a checking and a savings account. And then we hit the ground running. But that... often those many accounts are because they don't trust themselves to actually make the decisions if they look at that huge lump sum. That's what people say all the time. If I know it's there, then I'm going to want to touch it. And so people over time really develop this trust with themselves that they can, and then people don't even know what they're capable of doing because they're not seeing those numbers all in one place. So they start to trust, not only do I know I'm not going to, quote, blow it all, I'm not going to ruin myself, but also their possibilities open and the level of hope just it expands of feeling, wait, maybe there is more possible in my life. I mean, with families, a lot of them, wait, maybe I can hire a cleaning person? Like, what? Whereas they were stuck in this scarcity mindset of, oh, I never could. That's not me. I'm not that kind of person. So the trust and hope are just such key pieces that they come up over and over and over again.
That makes sense. I'm curious because I've heard from different people in the finance world that you need to diversify your money and have it in different accounts. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first off, I do not give any investment advice. Mm-hmm. And often clients, they kind of know what they want to do in investing, or I will relay them mm-hmm. to investing books. And what I give them is the confidence to say, oh, wait, mm-hmm. this is, I actually do have this much to invest. So mm-hmm. yes, I personally diversify mm-hmm. my investments. Mm-hmm. And I have some great investment gurus that I always direct people towards. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the cash flow over the course of a year, mm-hmm. it is so powerful to be able to look at. I start with clients either the very beginning of the year, sometimes in November and December before the year is even started, and they have a picture of how they're going to meet their needs over that whole year and how much they're going to have left at the end of the year. And we look at mm-hmm. how much they're going to put into investments, stock market yeah. versus their mutual funds. And we look at how much they're going to be putting into saving for their kids' college versus how mm-hmm. much they're saving towards vacations. But mm-hmm. so basically the idea of yeah. diversification of like looking at your whole life, it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be in all the different bank accounts to have a different bank account for every aspect of your life. So that's what I mean when people often will simplify that way.
Yeah, no, I love that concept because it just like simplifying it, because you're right. A lot of us are in that like busy mode or have a lot going on, and just to have it kind of simplistic of, okay, well, this is that lump sum, and that trust piece is so big too. Because I know people look at it differently, and I know it's not financial advice, but also just looking at it from a different lens, I think is important, because everybody is different and goes back to like, how do you want to be creative with your money? How do you want to play with your money? And having less stress around it is what I'm hearing.
Yep, absolutely. And it just changes. I mean, because I am a physical mover, I've been a professional performer, and I can't help but bring embodiment into our work. When mm-hmm. I work with clients, I give them different, I don't know if you've heard of Louise Hay, but like, yes, yeah. we'll come up with, you know, where are you having uncomfortableness in your body related to money? And yeah. so many people hold so much in their body. I mean, I'm a certified Pilates instructor and I've practiced yoga. So I draw from Kundalini. I draw from emotional freedom tapping. And I really create personalized, very customized yeah. programs for people, because I don't believe you can just look at the numbers and say, this will work. Great. Goodbye. I'm done. Because that's not sustainable and that's not realistic. And we are these full, enlivened beings that are holding, you know, stress and trauma and memories and fears. And to not look at that, I think, is a lie, basically. Mm-hmm.
I love that you bring in movement into it as well, because I think that's so fascinating and so different too. It has that unique flavor of being able to know, because a lot of times the money factor really impacts people on an emotional level, but in their bodies, like just how we carry stress in different parts, but being able to move through that. I love that concept of being able to find what fits for each client, but getting that creativity piece too together, I think is phenomenal.
Yeah. And back to our conversation about kind of the difference from starting the business and having the business carry itself. Mm-hmm. At first, I was not incorporating any of that. Mm. And I would kind of, we'd finish a call and I'd be taking notes and go, oh, I wish I could suggest she does this, but I felt timid. Mm. And then once I started, so post COVID, now I do have clients who come into the office mm-hmm. but even before that, I was doing things over Zoom of saying, all right, we're going to stand up and we're going to do this stretch and we yeah. really do it together. And sometimes some clients have thought I'm truly crazy, as I bring this up. And then like months later, they'll say, oh, I was doing it at home in the kitchen. And my husband was like, what are you doing? And she hadn't even noticed that she was doing like this jumping exercise that we do around her kid and her husband. And so that was so fun for me to hear that she's really embodied it so much that now it's become this natural part of her. And she explained it to her 12-year-old of saying, well, this is what I do when I don't want to look at the money. She didn't say when I don't want to look at money. When there's something I don't want to do, I'm psyching myself up to do it. And so we have this very specific embodied thing that really, she said, it just gets me in that place. And it was time to pay our bills. And I just was doing it in the kitchen, getting ready, thinking nothing of it. So yes, I love that fun part and just how much it absorbs into people's lives.
Oh, it's so true. I'm just like, I'm listening to it and I'm hearing what you're saying and it just how you're also not just impacting the client you work with, but also their families and their children. And a lot of times growing up, at least like from previous generations, like you don't talk about money, it's taboo or anything like that, but really teaching children how to deal with it because it's going to impact them and generations to come. So I just wanted to point that out because I think that's really vital for children to see that too from their parents.
Yes, definitely. And I think, I mean, really my mission is exactly what you said, taboo. Yeah. I used to think I'd probably be a sex therapist because just the tightness of so many topics in our society that it really is my mission to have people open up. So often it means ditching shame that they're carrying. And I really feel like the biggest problems we have in our world is when money is involved in something where heart and soul needs to be involved. And then heart and soul are in places where money needs to be involved and just that misalignment. So I really do operate under the belief that we are changing the world anytime we are transparent about whatever that is, our body image, our money, our investments. And yeah, I really feel like we are changing the world by doing this kind of work.
I'm feeling it all. And I'm curious, since starting your business till now, what are maybe two or three tips that you could give others listening that you wish you would have known in the beginning?
For specifically for money coaches?
Entrepreneurship.
Oh, okay. Well, the number one, you're never going to be ready to start. Seems sort of kind of boring, but
the truth.
Yes, it's just a boring truth. In terms of if there's an idea and you're saying, well, I'll do that when, then the end of that sentence needs to be when I thought of it and I'm doing it now. Another one is actually as a money coach, how much of what you want from that business can you do for free? Like how much can you start it with as little financial investment possible? You know, can you work for someone else who's doing what you're doing so that you are gaining information without your own output? And then also to really, I wouldn't want life balance to be a stopper for someone to not carry through their ideas. Cause I do believe that businesses are an expression of who we are. Mm-hmm. And they are a way to connect with the rest of the world. So I could be a crocheting genius, I'm not, and crocheting the coolest things in the world and have my own satisfaction for that. But then I'm depriving the rest of the world of these amazing creations. So I am on a crochet Facebook page. And it's just so cool that there are people all over the world that we get to share what's happening and inspire each other. And to me, that's life. And that's part of the positive part of where we are in history right now, that we are connected. We can connect this way and express what we have because someone needs it. So, but what I was going to say is I wouldn't want life balance to stop, to really each step of the way, check in with yourself. Is this working for me?
Right.
And it's so easy to have this outside voice saying, it doesn't matter. You just have to get this business started. It has to be a grind until it pays off. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we might not live till it pays off, number one, but also how we do each moment is how we do the big picture. So those would be the main things.
No, those are really important things. And even if we might think it's boring, it's important to understand those factors as well. And realizing too, it is a roller coaster, but being able to connect with people, being able to know that you're not alone, having somebody you can trust, and just being able to go on that journey. And I love that you said check in with yourself, because it really is about checking in and understanding how are you feeling? How are you filling your cup? How are you prioritizing yourself so you can show up so powerfully for yourself, but everyone around you too.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Oh. And priorities, yes, in businesses, those have to be looked at all the time. Yeah, just like you said.
It's true. There's no getting around it. Right. Because it will show up other ways.
Yeah.
But I've been so enjoying this conversation, Olivia, but we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
I think so. We'll see. Let me take a sip of tea. Okay, go for it.
Mental strength. So the first question is, who is your hero?
Ooh, does she have to be real or fake? Ooh, see, she's a she.
There we go.
We're going to go with She-Ra. Yeah, she rode a flying horse and was super strong. There you go. For those of you who are too young, okay, we have to go back. She was related to He-Man, who hopefully you have heard of, but maybe not even that, because that was in the 80s. And she was She-Ra of power, and she had a sword, and she was like an original superhero.
Love it. It's very original too. So if you were a superhero, what would be your powers or power?
Well, you know, I always used to say invisibility because I love hearing, like, I was the kid who sat on the top of the steps and eavesdropped on the grown-ups all the time. I still don't know if they knew. And I just really love understanding the individual things that make people tick. Mm-hmm. But now in my job, it's such an honor. I mean, I do get to hear that from people. So I feel like I've achieved sort of invisibility because it's not about me. They're talking about, you know, what they want to work on in their money. Mm-hmm. And then flying. But also then I was a professional literal flyer. That's what they call trapeze artists. I've done that too. So maybe control the weather, like storm. But no, because that's too many consequences. We know that messes up the eco-environment. So it would be something like being able to wave a wand, or maybe just my finger would be better, and like gently put my hand on someone's shoulder or back and have them be able to see like the truth of a situation. Bam, there's my answer.
That's a good answer. I like the creativity with that.
That was very cool.
I'm glad you liked the question. What is the last book that you've read or listened to?
That I can do rapid fire. Sacred Economics.
Done.
Because it's so cool, because he talks about the history of what money is, and that money actually is the most sacred thing. It's like an idea that is not really, yes, we're kind of tied to gold and silver, but not really. Like, if they find more silver, it's going to keep working. And so he talks about how we can get society back to money and abundance being sacred. All right, that wasn't quick.
That's okay. I appreciate the answer. So if you were going to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
Often people say Kirsten Dunst, but now that we're getting older, I'm not sure. So of course I want Meryl Streep, because we both went to Vassar, and I plan, you know, at some point to be a professor emeritus at Yale or something. And she was in a movie in my childhood neighborhood. So yeah, let's go with Meryl Streep. I'm old enough, right?
Well, I feel like, you know, Kristen Bell would be first, and then Meryl Streep, you know?
Right. Oh yeah. Cause it's my life biopic.
Good point. Yeah. I could see that. So if you have a favorite family recipe, what would it be, whether it's traditional or making it with your family?
It would either be cornbread or matzo balls. I've got Jewish, I've got Texas. But also I'm gluten-free now, so it's not their recipes. So I'll like make my own little gluten-free cornbread, and then my mom will make the dressing with my little cornbread. So yep, cornbread, carbs basically.
But they're both really delicious. So there's that. And what is something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
I mean, I think if you think about it, it does make sense naturally, but the idea of how much money touches every decision of our lives. And when I work with clients, they're not coming in here thinking about relationship advice, but they just reveal themselves of how money and power impact their relationship and sex lives. And often, you know, I'll just say it, of like, often how we deal with our money does reflect itself in how we are in bed. And so just that all of those, so you don't have to worry if you don't want to talk about your sex life, we don't have to, but just the realization that money is everywhere, how we take care of ourselves, how we take care of our children, how we treat our children, how we treat our family and friends, and how we make decisions. Yes, that it touches every aspect, which it does. Why when it's out of alignment, everything suffers.
That's why it needs to get back in alignment. You're right. It does impact not just the money. And I think that happens with a lot of individuals that just I've spoken to. It's you have the surface of like what you're offering, but there's so much underneath all of that too. And that's exactly what you're saying, or I think you're saying as well, but being able to realize that how it impacts, it's like a web. It's not just, there's the focal point, but how it all goes out too.
Yeah. So that would be another thing I would add on to previous of when people are creating businesses to realize, okay, great, I'm selling sandwiches, but you're also creating a place for families to come and connect and to really give yourself that acknowledgement of this is a bigger impact than whatever it is I'm quote selling. You're creating, like you said, waves of ripples in the net.
Absolutely. So Olivia, where can people find you, hire you? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Landinthenet.com is my website. Trapeze, money, land in the net, safety net, gross net, profit, all of those things. Landinthenet.com. I am on Instagram, land in the net, LinkedIn. And now I have my own YouTube show, partly with your inspiration. I love everything you've been doing. So that's also land in the net and YouTube. And I think we'll have links down there. And those are little fun shows where my Jewish Nana comes and tells us what to do about money, you know, come on, get it together. And sometimes I tap dance or do handstands too.
Well, we'll definitely want people to check those out. So they will definitely be linked below. But Olivia, it's been such a pleasure having you on, your beautiful personality, but also really helping around money and understanding it a little bit more of how it's not just impacting the wallet, but how it impacts everything else too.
You are so succinct. I love it. I'm so appreciative. This was really fun.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Olivia? I'm sure she would love to see that comment as well. And we'll see you on the next video.